You're listening to another great Torah class, recorded by TorahAnytime.com.
I'm deeply grateful to Rabbi Levy for having invited me to come to speak to all of you. It's an honor to speak in the presence of Rabbi Lerner and Rabbi Polakoff, Ashkenazim, Sfardim tonight, all the members of the Great Neck community. And I just want to tell you that which we are doing tonight, literally by tomorrow morning, will be seen around the world. Tonight we are being filmed by one of the greatest organizations in Klal Yisrael, which is TorahAnytime.com. And by tomorrow, whatever we accomplish here tonight will be known in Australia and Chile and Switzerland and Mexico, throughout the United States and Canada and England. It is just incredible. And so we have a great responsibility tonight to speak on, as the Rav mentioned, the very difficult night of Chag and yet sadness of the Shloshim. So we've come together tonight on a night of reflection, a night of commemoration, and because it's Hanukkah, a night of celebration. When David HaMelech realized that his closest friend, Yonasan, the one he loved like a brother, was killed in war, and not only Yonasan was killed, but Yonasan's father, the Melech of Klal Yisrael, Shaul HaMelech, was also killed, David HaMelech gave a eulogy, a hesped, in a very heartfelt way. And he said the following. It's in Shmuel Beis, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yutes. Hatzvi Yisrael, the splendorous land of Eretz Yisrael, al bomosayich cholol, on your heights lay the slain people, eich noflu giboirim. How did these great, strong, mighty people, how did they fall? I don't know how many of you have ever been to Hanof. Hanof is built on a mountain. You can only go from one street to the other through steps that go higher and higher and higher. And so therefore, 30 days ago in Eretz Yisrael, they could have reiterated this very same pasuk, Hatzvi Yisrael, the splendorous land of Eretz Yisrael, Albo Masayich, on your high hills, on your heights, Cholol, lay slain people, Eich, Noflu, Giboirim. How did those people fall? How did those great people fall? And then David HaMelech continues and he says, Shaul V'Yonasan, Shaul the Melech of Klal Yisrael, Yonasan, his best friend, Hanehovim V'Hanaimim, the beloved and the sweet people, B'chayeyim, in their lives, they were so beloved and so sweet, U'V'Moisam Lo Nifradu. And in their death, we will not part from them. Min Neshorim Kalu, swifter than eagles, Ma'aroyos Goveru, stronger than lions. And the truth is that even these words, Hanehovim V'Hanaimim B'chayeyim U'V'Moisam Lo Nifradu, can be said about those four special people, Rav Kalman Levine, Rav Arya Kopinski, Rav Avram Goldberg, and Rav Moshe Tversky. These four were so beloved. Let me tell you just a little bit about each one, what type of people they were. Rav Kalman Levine was 55 years old. He was born in Kansas City. And he was a person who was a great masmid, who learned Torah all the time, and yet he had time for everyone. Let me tell you what his daughter, Michal Leah, said. She said, my father made time for every person. He made everyone feel loved. He spent so many hours learning Torah, you would think all those books distracted him from connecting with people. But in fact, it was just the opposite. His Torah drew him closer to people. In Yerushalayim, they talk about how Kalman Levine, who was 55, danced at a wedding. He did backflips, all kinds of dances,
backflips, cartwheels. It was amazing. How does a guy 55 do that? I mean, I'm sure there are people here 55. I'd like to see you do a backflip. And yet this guy somehow made himself the center of every wedding. He had time for everyone. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you something very interesting that touched me when I read about Rav Kalman Levin. It's a very interesting Ksav Sefer. The Ksav Sefer is in the Pasuk in Vayikra Chav Beis Lamed Beis, and it tells us, V'nikdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. Hashem says, you should sanctify me among Klal Yisrael. And the Ksav Sefer writes like this, V'chein derech ha-tzadikim. This is what tzadikim are all about. She'enom is boided them. They don't separate themselves. Ki'im u'rovim bein abriyos. The real tzaddik, the real Talmud Chacham is involved in the community. Ki'im u'rovim bein abriyos ve'im lo yasekein. And if somebody's a big Talmud Chacham and he's not involved with the people, writes a Ksav Sefer, mechalel Hashem. That's a disgrace of God. You know why? She'omrim, because people will say, "Mimnei shalom etayra any adel adaber and bnei adam," because he's such a big talmud chacham, he doesn't know how to speak with people. Ve'ein chilul Hashem gadol mizeh. There's no greater desecration. So here's a man, Kalman Levin, who spent hours every day learning, but yet everybody who he spoke to felt loved. He was the center of the wedding, dancing. He could have said, no, I'm too busy, I'm learning. No, but that's not what a Talmud Chacham is all about. That's what Kalman Levin was all about. Let me tell you about Aryeh Kupinski, who was 43 years old. Tall, broad fellow, 6'2", saved lives in that base medrash because he fought off as long as he could those terrible, cruel people who did that horrible thing. He was from Oak Park, Michigan. Everybody in Yerushalayim talks about Aryeh's chesed. When he came to a simcha, he was the first one to come. You know why? Because he helped set up the tables. And he was the last one to leave. You know why? Because he would help put away everything. You know, we come to a simcha, we had a good time, we saw everybody, we ate, and we leave, not him. You know what he did? It's unbelievable. In the streets of Har Nof, if you've ever been there, there are many, many busy intersections, a lot of curves going around because it's up and down the hills. On the busy intersections, many mornings, he was in the street directing traffic in front of schools to make sure that the kids, Chas V'Shalom, wouldn't get hurt by cars that were speeding around the corner. And you know what he did? On Rosh Chodesh Adar, he came in a clown's outfit because Meshenichnas Adar, Marvin Besimcha. Imagine the kids going to school and this big 6'2" broad guy, he's directing traffic in a clown's uniform. But I want to tell you a connection that I had with him. My son Avram Zelek, Yibod L'chaim, learned with Aryeh Kupinski and Rav Tzvi Koshelevsky's yeshiva. And one year I was there Sukkos. And I came there before Sukkos and I spoke in the yeshiva. And Aryeh was there, one of the Talmidim of the yeshiva. And then he found out that I loved something that he did. Now I'm going to try to describe this. You know those things that you hold, the adasim and the aravais, I don't know an English word for it. I was looking it up, a bundle holder. I mean, it's a poor word. In Yiddish, there's a word called koshikol. I'm sure the Persians don't know what a koshikol is, but whatever. But whatever it is, it looks like a V, right? You got the adasim and the aravais or whatever. Now, he was so talented that he was able to make like a round cocoon that he took from the lulav leaves, and it embraced the lulav. It was a round thing, and you were able to put the hadasim and the aravais in, not like a V, but just in this round cocoon that he built out of, that he wove together. He found out that I loved it. He said, I'll make one for you. I said, what, it's Erev Yontif, you don't have to bother. No, he said, don't worry, I'll make it for you. It was so gorgeous, I used it for 5 years until it fell apart. I had no idea that this was the same Aryeh Kupinski until my son told me, this Baal Chesed, he did a Chesed for you, and you don't even realize who he was. The third person was a man by the name of Rav Avraham Goldberg. He was born in Liverpool. He had a great English accent, a real dignified gentleman, a dry English sense of humor, but he loved Svarim. Listen to what his son-in-law writes about him. He had an unusual affection for Sifrei Kodesh. He was in the publishing business in England. He had a library fit for a gadol. He was proficient in all of the svarim. He'd buy a sefer that came out. He bought everyone that came out. He read it from start to finish. And only then would he find a place for it on his shelf. And then he ran Targum Press. Many of us in our homes have books from Targum Press. Avram Goldberg was the head of Targum Press. And then there was Rav Moshe Twersky. Rav Moshe Twersky, who was the grandson of Rav Yoshe Ben Soloveitchik. I think one of the most touching things that I've heard about Rav Moshe was that when he was a young boy, 5 years old, he used to walk in the streets of Boston with Rav Yoshe Ben. And Rav Yoshe Ben used to talk to him and learning. And you know what Rav Yoshe Ben said about him? Rav Yoshe Ben said, I have four true Talmidim in this world. He's one of them and he is me. Now we all know who Rav Heschel Schechter is. So you could imagine, if Rav Yoshe Ben is saying that Rav Moshe Twersky is him, you could imagine what kind of Talmud Chacham he was. And all the stories that they tell, about his punctiliousness, his preciseness in mitzvahs, especially before the Chagim, it is remarkable. Do you know what he used to do before the Yom Tovim? Before Yom Kippur, he learned Masechta Yuma. Before Rosh Hashanah, he learned Masechta Rosh Hashanah. Before Pesachim, he learned Pesachim. Before Pesach, he learned Pesachim. Before Purim, he learned Megillah. Incredible. He was a great Talmud Chacham. He knew everything. You could talk to him in any place. As a matter of fact, I just want to quote what Rav Moshe Meiselman said about him. Rav Moshe Meiselman, who is the Rosh Hashiva of Toras Moshe, where Rav Twersky gave Shiurim. He said, Rav Moshe had one essential midah, Taras HaNefesh, a purity of soul. He had one single pure goal in his life, to serve the Rabbeinu Shleilam. That was his whole goal. That was his goal in life. And he says like this, Rabbi Meiselman, we say every day, Elokai, Neshama shenasata bi, the soul that you give me, tahirahi, is pure. And our goal in life should be to maintain that tahara with which we were born. Rav Moshe truly did so. So we had Rav Avram, Rav Arya, Rav Avram Goldberg, as we said, Rav Kalman, and of course Rav Moshe. But I want to talk to you about a different victim, a different terror victim of more than 20 years ago. His name was Yonah Molina. I didn't know Yonah Molina. I got on a plane. I had to go to Switzerland. I was going to speak in one of the cities in Switzerland. I get off the plane in Zurich and I meet a friend of mine. His name is Danny Benjamin. And Danny says to me, Rabbi Krohn, we're going to visit Yonah Molina. I said, who's Yonah Molina? He said he was just on a bus in Eretz Yisrael a few weeks ago. There was a bombing and he's paralyzed from the neck down. And you have to come and you have to give him chizuk. I said, but I don't know him. I'm just going to go into the hospital? I don't know him. He said, you have to go. Somehow you'll find what to say to him. And so, of course, I was exhausted, jet-lagged, you know, traveled all night to come to Switzerland. The next day I was going to go to wherever I was going to speak. And now we go outside Luzern. And there's a hospital, very sophisticated hospital. It's at night already. All the rooms are dark. And I come in and I see this handsome fellow, 28 years old, Yonah Molina. A respirator, he can't talk, he's paralyzed from the neck down. And I stand next to his bed. What in the world do you say to a person like that? And I know that he understands because his eyes can blink. That was the only way that I was able to know that he knew that I was there and that he could understand what I was saying. And I touched his cheek just to make him feel comfortable. And then Hashem put these words in my head. I don't know where they came from. I said, Yonah, they didn't mean you. They meant every Jew. When they blew up that bus, they didn't mean you specifically. You are the representative of every Jew in the world. And I am going to make sure that you are not forgotten by any of them. Wherever I go from now on, I'm going to talk about you. Because it could have been any of us. It happened to be you because you were on that bus. And what I did was that I took his name and the address in that hospital where he was going to be for months. And I made thousands of labels. And wherever I went, in Antwerp, in Manchester, in Canada, in America, wherever I was, I told children and I told adults, write a letter to Yonah Molina. And months later, his mother, Eva, called me. And
There weren't cell phones, so she couldn't show me a picture. I only saw it later. She said, I want to tell you what his wallpaper is. His wallpaper in his room are these postcards. We can tell where you traveled because we know where the letters are coming from. And eventually, when he was able to, he always had that respirator and he always was paralyzed. But he was able to travel. He came back to Eretz Yisrael and I visited him in a hospital in Tel HaShomer, and he still had those postcards. And he still had those letters that he was always getting. And his mother Eva would call me so many times and say, you didn't forget about him. You promised you wouldn't forget, and you didn't let anybody forget about him. And I'll tell you, I think it's the same with these four tzaddikim, with Rav Avram, Rav Kalman, Rav Arya, and Rav Moshe. We are them, and they are us. Those Rishayim, those Achzorim, they weren't looking for them, they were looking for us. They were looking for anybody, any Jew. And if that's the case, we have a connection to that shul, and we have a connection to those people, because it could have been any of us. They just wanted to kill a Yid who was davening. We all daven. We are them, and they are us. That's the message tonight. We are them, and they are us. And if that's the case, I believe that all of us, we have to thank Hashem that it wasn't us that we were there, but we have to listen to what the Rambam tells us. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tainiyos that if we see something terrible happen, and it keeps happening, we have to change. Every one of us has to change. And the Rambam says, if somebody's going to say, these are things that happen. Listen, Jews live next to Arabs. There's going to be terror attacks. There's going to be wars. That's, if a person says that that's the minig ha'olam, chas v'shalom, and it just happens, that's cruelty. And you know what he says? You know what kind of cruelty it is? It's cruelty to yourself. Because these things are going to continue happening. Every single one of us that's here in this Heiliger Beis Medrash and Beis Hadas and Great Neck, every one of us here tonight has to make a commitment to change. We have to change something. We have to elevate ourselves. And every single person that's going to listen to this video throughout the world has to make a commitment to change, because we are them and they are us. And if we don't change, the Rambam is telling us that it's Derech Achzorias. Now the question is, how do you change? What do you do? Now the truth is, if Yirmiyahu HaNavi would be here tonight and he would tell us what to do, everybody would listen. If we had anybody from the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyla here tonight, everybody would listen. If we had the Tanoim or the Amoraim, any of them. And the truth is, we don't know for sure. I'm going to give suggestions, and I'll tell you why I came up with those suggestions. But it's not a guarantee that that's what we have to do. We're all groping. We're all trying to see what we have to change. But change, everybody has to change. That's what the Rambam is telling us. And that's what we daven every day. Hashiva Shevtenu Kvarishayna. Restore the judges like it was via Atzenu Kvatchila. The advisors like we used to have. We don't have those advisors. So we don't know for sure. But I'll tell you what's on my heart and what's on my mind. There's a pasuk, a frightening pasuk, that Shlomo HaMelech writes in Kehelas. Perek Gimel, pasuk to Zion. He said, "V'oid ra'isi tachas ha'shamash, I've seen in this world under the sun, Mekoyim ha'mishpat, Shama ha'resha." Mekoyim ha'mishpat, the place of judgment, that's where there is evil. The simple meaning is that Shlomo HaMelech was saying, sometimes you have a court, you have a bezdin, and you would expect righteous judgment to come there. But sometimes a judge is not scrupulous, and he perverts justice. And Shlomo HaMelech says, Mekoyim ha'mishpat, the place where there should have been justice, Shama ha'resha. That's where there is evil, because the justice is perverted. But there's another understanding. Mekoyim ha'mishpat, the place where the judgment happened, Shama ha'resha, that's where the evil happened. And maybe, not chas v'shalom in the shul of Har Nof, but in all our shuls, because they are us and we are them, maybe we are doing things in shul that are inappropriate.
And maybe that's one of the lessons of this pasuk, Mekoyim HaMishpat Shomo HaResha. So I want to tell you something that I think all of us can change and should change. But I just want to give you a little story first. And I'm telling you, you have to fasten your seatbelts for what you are about to hear. When Naftali, Gilad, and Ayal were kidnapped, and then Rachmana Litzlan killed, someone that I know went to visit B'Menachem Oval, Mrs. Frankel, Naftali's mother. Very eloquent woman, a very holy woman, and she said something remarkable. Only a Yiddish mama could say this. She said, at the end, I had a partial nechama, a partial consolation. And people were wondering, what kind of consolation could she have? She lost a teenage child. What is worse in the world than that? And she said, for 18 days, I cried, not knowing if my son was alive. But then when I found out that he was killed the first day, I had the partial nechama, I had the partial consolation, because I knew that my Naftali loved doing mitzvahs. And the mitzvah that he loved doing more than anything else was the mitzvah of tefillin. And I knew those Arabs, they wouldn't let him wear tefillin. But when I found out that he was killed the first day, I felt at least, Baruch Hashem, he didn't go one day without wearing tefillin. Can you imagine a Yiddish mama saying that? And then I could not stop telling this to everyone, and I told it to a friend of mine who teaches in Darkei Torah, Yaron Habital. He told me something that could take your breath away. The oisiyos, the letters of the word Naftali, I get the chills as I tell it to you. The oisiyos of the word Naftali is tefillin. Nun, pei, tof, lamed, yud, tof, pei, lamed, yud, nun. Could you go crazy from that? Could you imagine, Shmo Gorim, how your name has an influence? When they named him Naftali at his bris, they were not thinking that tefillin would be his mitzvah. But your Hebrew name is a nevuah of what you're all about. That's incredible. And so I believe that we owe it to Naftali, and we owe it to those three Kedoshim in the summer and the four Kedoshim 30 days ago, that at least, I'm not going to get up here and tell you not to talk with your tefillin, or not to talk in shul, but at least no texting and no emailing when you're wearing tefillin. The women can't believe what I'm about to say. That there are men, when they finish Shemoneh Esrei, before Chazaras Hashatz, they're taking out their cell phones. Maybe Staples has an ad. Maybe somebody wants to be connected to LinkedIn. Maybe the NFL wants to sell you an Eli Manning jacket. They won't know what in the world I'm talking about in Australia. We are obsessed with our phones. And so when I spoke about this in Poland once. We were on a trip together. And I said, we've got to make up a slogan that's going to get the message across that cell phones should be shut, not just on vibrate. They should be shut when you're davening. Men and women, whether you're davening at home, the women are unsure, whatever it is, shut the phones. Disconnect to reconnect. We have to reconnect to Hashem. Maybe. Mokem HaMishpat Shom HaResha. All of you know that I am a Moyel. So you know that on the day of a bris, the Moyel comes forward and he says, V'choroi Simei HaBris, together with the Baal Tefillah, Pasuk by Pasuk. I was in a shul that you all know that I won't say where it is, because you all know people there. I woke up, I'm ready to say V'choroi Simei HaBris, the Baal Tefillah's texting. I was going to smack it out of his hand. I was going to say, who are you texting, God? So I spoke about this in Brooklyn, and a young kid, a 21-year-old kid, Mordechai Zapoznik, made this for all of you. I mean, he made it for me, but I brought a gift. Every single one of you is going to be able to walk home with a label. I mean, you know, this is a Sfarad Siddur, but believe me, it works for Ashkenaz as well. Don't make any mistake. Disconnect to reconnect. I'm going to give out labels to everyone. Put it in your Siddur. Put it on your Shtender. And L'zeicha Nishmas Naftali. L'zeicha Nishmas the four in Harnof. Let us make a certain Zahiras and tefillah, that from now on, not that we shut, don't put it on vibrate. We shut the phones. We disconnect so that once again, we can reconnect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, the murders
30 days ago were perpetrated by the greatest achzorim in the world. The greatest cruel people, savages, animals. It's not humanly understandable. They can't even be called human beings to come in, and I can't even describe. I'm sure that I haven't seen all the pictures, but when you see the picture of the talus with all the tzitzis in blood, it's horrendous, horrendous. What does it mean, an achzor? Where does that word come from? Cruelty. I have a friend, the great Talmud Chacham, Rav Shalom Spitz, who once showed me a pasuk in Iyov. Amazing what the word achzor, where it comes from. The pasuk Iyov is talking to his friends. In Perek Yutes, pasuk Yud Gimel, he says, Achai, my brothers, may Olai hirchik, they have furthered themselves from me. V'yoidai, and those who I know, achzoru mimeni. They have become estranged. You know what the word achzor means? Achzor, it's only a stranger. When you consider somebody else a stranger, you'll do anything against them. Why not? It's only a stranger. It's not your brother. It's not your wife. It's not your child. It's not your business associate. It's just a stranger. And achzorius begins there and ends with the ultimate of what they did. Because to them, Jews are strangers. They're not people. Achzor. And so I want to talk about three things that we should not be doing, and then we'll talk about the things that we should be doing. And I know that this is going to hurt some people who are going to hear this, but I think one of the greatest acts of achzorius, of cruelty, is a man who does not give his wife a divorce and keeps her as an aguna for years. No rov should tolerate it. No community should tolerate it. No shul should tolerate it. These guys should not be given aliyahs. Nobody should do business with them. Give them a time frame. Within a year, they've got to get an arbitrator and finish it. Women are held prisoner for years. It's a terrible achzorius. And we as members of the community should not stand for it. Ostracize these people. Get it over with. The marriage didn't work. Nobody's fault. Whoever's fault it is. Whatever. Finish with it. Not to hold a woman prisoner for years. That's achzorius. You know what else is achzorius? Those people like Madoff, who cheat people in business and make another family's finances fall to the ground and a family is wiped out. How many people steal commissions from others, steal money from others in devious ways? They know very well that their investment is no investment. If you know anybody like that, or don't ever be inclined to do anything like that, to cheat another person in business, you just treat them like a stranger. Achzor. Who knows? Who knows? If maybe Chas V'Shalom, Klal Yisrael was smitten by achzorius, by achzorim, because we act in achzorius ways. And what about those parents who speak with cruelty to children and certain teachers who wipe away kids just because they're the teacher, or the principal, or the father, or the mother? A child is a human being. A child, your child, is not a stranger. You have to speak with love, and with care, and with feeling. Even if they make you have white hair. Even if you're tearing out your hair from your head because of them. Can't wipe away a child. That's the future of Klal Yisrael. And we can't allow it to happen in our schools and in our homes. That's maybe achzorius, because we only treat that child like a stranger. Who knows, Rachmana Litzlan, if Chas V'Shalom, Hashem didn't say in his mind, there's so much achzorius going on in Klal Yisrael in so many different ways. Chas V'Shalom, he showed us what achzorius is all about. My Rebbe, Rav David Cohen, said something fabulous. The word ezrach, if you could picture it in your mind, means a ger, a convert. How is ezrach spelled? Watch this. Aleph, Zion, Reish, Ches. On the outside, it's Aleph and Ches. Ach, a brother who embraces the Zor, the stranger. And he becomes a ger, a beloved ger. Ezrach is a ger. You know why? In the middle, he's Zor, he's a stranger, but he's surrounded by brotherhood. And that's why we have to as a ger. That's what it's all about. That's what we need, more love. And that's what I want to talk about, the positive. Tonight is the night of Hanukkah. And to me,
One of the most incredible lessons that we can learn from Hanukkah is the lesson of Hillel, Moisif V'Hoylech, to add. We know that Beis Shammai says tonight we were supposed to light 8 candles because there's 8 days left to the miracle, then 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hillel says no. And Shabbos Chofalof, Hillel says that Yom Rishon Madlik Achas Mikan Ve'elef Moisif V'Hoylech. We add, maybe tonight, in a positive way, let's think what we could add. Is there anything that we can add to our davening? Maybe some of the men or some of the women don't say karbonis. Maybe from now on we should say karbonis. Or the Parsha of Ketores. Do you know that the Zohar HaKodesh in Parshas Vayakel says, anybody who says the Parsha of Ketores with kavana, that day nothing wrong will happen to him. Try it. You know why I think it's special? Because Ketores, the Ketores has 11 spices. One of them is a foul-smelling spice. In my Siddur, I have the word Chelbana underlined. Because every morning I want to see. You've got to include all kinds of Jews. Not only the Jews that you feel are as religious as you are. Or are doing as many mitzvahs as you are. Even those that are less, the Chelbana, they're all part of the Ketores. And maybe that's what the Zohar means. If you include all Jews, and you love all Jews unconditionally, then nothing wrong is going to happen to you that day. That's Moisif V'Hoylech, to add a certain part of the davening. I'll tell you a part of the davening that you should add. After Aleinu. You know, Aleinu, Alkeinu Kava, and then in a different typeface, there's Altira. Many people skip it because we say Kaddish and then they're out of the shul. I once heard, why is it called Kaddish Yosem? Because the Yosem is the only one in shul. Everybody's out of there already. But the idea is Altira, especially appropriate for our times. Think about it. You know what we say in Altira? Altira mipachat pisayim. Do not be frightened by sudden terror. U'mishoyas rishoyim kisavoy, and the calamity of rishoyim when it comes. Utsu eitzo v'sufa. We say to the goyim, you make a conspiracy, but it's going to be annulled. Davru dova v'lo yakum. You make a plan, it won't happen. Ki mono keil, because God is with us. I have that underlined in my Siddur, ki imonu keil. That strength. When we hear news, we hear sudden calamity, a yid cannot be broken. Maybe that's why the shleishim came out on Hanukkah. Hashem is showing you there is a shleishim, there is sadness, there is reflection, there is commemoration, but there's celebration. There's a future in Klal Yisrael. At the saddest time, Churban Beis HaMikdash, so we remember the chassan, right? We put ashes on his head. Why would you put ashes on the chassan's head? He's the happiest night of his life. The answer is because we have to remember, even at the happy times, that we went through destruction, but they're still happy times. We still go on. In many homes, when you're building a home, they live black square, zecher l'churban. Why? Happy home, you're building a house, isn't that great? No, we still remember the churban, but we're still building the home. Because we build Altira Mipachat Pisayim. What I guarantee you, if you want to change your life, here's a guarantee. Start doing a chesed every single day for somebody else. Not your husband for your wife for your husband. That you got to do if you know what's good for you. I'm talking out of the house. Keep a notebook. You can do 10 chesedim a day. Just write down one. I guarantee you, after a month or two, you will be a different person. You know why? Hashem Tzilcha, God is your shadow. You do good for others, others will do good for you. Keep a notebook. A chesed a day. That's Moisif V'Hoylech. Maybe those women or the men who say Tillim, maybe say an extra kapitel every day from now on. That's what Hanukkah is all about. Another undertaking, Moisif V'Hoylech. Another Mishnah, another Amud of Gemara. Whatever you want to take, but it has to undertake something more. I just want to end with this great thought and a fabulous story. I grew up always thinking that dreidel was a baby game. I never played dreidel. Who plays dreidel? Kids, babies play dreidel. A couple years ago, I saw something in the B'nai Yisoschar that shocked me. And he talks about the holiness of the dreidel and the significance of the dreidel. And if you have never heard this, you will be astounded at what he says. He says the dreidel is the history of Judaism. He says the dreidel spins around. And we know that we have 4 letters, the Nun, the Gimel, the Shin, and the He. And he says, you know what it is? It's each Golas. What happened at the end of the first Beis HaMikdash? At the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, Nebuchadnezzar wanted that our soul, our nefesh, should not be able to get close to Hashem anymore. The word karbonis, karbon doesn't mean sacrifice. Karbon means karoiv, get close. The pasuk in Vayikra tells us, v'nefesh kisakriv, the soul that wants to get close. But once you had the Beis HaMikdash destroyed, the nefesh was gone. That's the nun on the dreidel. The first goal is nun, nefesh. Our nefesh was destroyed because we couldn't come close to Hashem. And the time of Haman was the next golus. Guf, that was the gimel. He wanted to kill Jews to make a difference. You're going to become like the goyim? That's now, he didn't care. It made no difference at all. Anybody, lahashmid, laharig, laabidus, kol ayudim, no questions asked. That was the second golus, the gimel, the guf. What was the golus of the Greeks? What did they want? Culture, seichel. They wanted to change our mindset. The Torah was not important anymore. Lashkicham Torah Secha. They affected our seichel. Was culture, science, math, philosophy, anything except Torah. Nun is the nefesh. Gimel is the guf. Shin or sin is the seichel. Then the Bnei Yisoscha says, today, you look around the world. Hey, Hakol, every type of golos that you could imagine. In certain places in America, they're trying to get us to intermarry. And in certain places in Eretz Yisrael, they're trying to kill us, our bodies. Kill the seichel, kill the nefesh, everything. Today is Hakol. What happens? It spins and spins and spins. Eventually, it's all going to fall down. It can't last. It's going to fall down. The dreidel falls eventually. And then he says something that's eye-opening. Nun Gimel Hey Shin is equal 358. The word Mashiach is equal 358. The Nun Gimel Hey Shin, the Nefesh, the Guf, the Seichel, Hakol, that's all going to fall. But the number is going to remain. That's going to remain. That's Mashiach. And when Mashiach comes, hopefully we'll be Zeicha to this Pasuk of Yeshaya. V'galti b'Yerushalayim, I will rejoice in Yerushalayim. V'sasti ba'ami, and I will exult in my people. V'lo yishama ba'oid koil b'chi v'koil za'oka. There will no longer be the koil, the voice of crying, and the voice of weeping in Yerushalayim. And I just want to end with this story. And when the Satmar Rebbe heard the punchline of this story, he broke out in tears. And believe me, it's worth crying over. Rav Michal Ben Weissmandel was a great genius. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Nitri Yeshiva in Europe. He lost a wife and five children in Europe. He came to America and he moved to Mount Kisco in Westchester and he remarried and he had five children. The fifth child was a boy. And at the bris, he said as follows. He said, I had five children in Europe and they died al Kiddush Hashem. I have five children here in America. I hope they'll live al Kiddush Hashem. He said, those children who died al Kiddush Hashem, we look up to them and we admire them. They gave up their lives al Kiddush Hashem. But what we need is that they who are in Shemayim should be able to look at us and see that we live lives of Kiddush Hashem. They died al Kiddush Hashem. We have to live al Kiddush Hashem. And listen to what he said. He said, now I have a new understanding in Kedusha. Nikadesh Eshimcha Ba'olam. Every one of us should sanctify Hashem's name in this world. Kashem Shemagdishim Oisoy B'Shmei Marayim. Just like those who are in the heavens. Just how they sanctified God's name. And then V'koro Ze'el Zev Yomar. Then each one should be able to look at each other. We at them and they at us. V'koro Ze'el Zev Yomar Kadosh. Kadosh, Kadosh. Each one should be able to say, we are truly holy. Naphtali, Gilad, and Ayal. Rav Avram, Rav Kalman, Rav Aryeh, and Rav Moshe. They are in Shemayim. They died al Kiddush Hashem. They're looking down at us. And they want to be content and happy that we are living al Kiddush Hashem. That's the reason that we are in this world. V'nikdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. The main Kiddush Hashem is among Yidden, not among Goyim. Of course, we have to make a nice impression on Goyim, but the main thing is among Yidden. That's what we came here for tonight. We remember and we admire and we revere those who died al Kiddush Hashem. But they have to be able to look at us and see that we live al Kiddush Hashem. I can just tell you every day when I say those words, Kadosh, 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 I think of those three, Naphtali,
Gilad, and Ayal. And I don't know if I'm right, but I can just tell you that when I say the word Echad, that ends in a Dalet, I think of those four in Hanof. They lived, they died, Al-Kiddush Hashem. Let us make a commitment tonight on this Shleishim, on this night of Hanukkah, that will be Moisef HaHailach, that will live the rest of our lives, Al-Kiddush Hashem, so that V'kora Zeh El-Zev Yamar, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for listening. And please, everyone, take one of these. And let's remember, disconnect to reconnect. Thank you.
TorahAnytime.com sends cameras out day and night to video and audio record the best Torah classes around. We then make them available to you for free. So what are you waiting for? Watch, listen to, and download lectures on TorahAnytime.com today.